ministry that I'm involved with. Maybe some of you are aware of the fact that I'm chairman of the board called School Ministries Incorporated. And it is a ministry that is a national ministry to encourage release time Bible education. Now, how many of you remember when we had release time right in this building? Anybody remember, Earl? That's about it, I guess. Okay, a couple of you. In fact, I attended that when I was, I think it was third grade, maybe fourth grade. But I would walk from Draper over here with a number of other kids. Now, why did I come? I was getting out of school. Yeah, you know. Forget the rest. I was getting out of school. Well, you say, well, Jim, that's awful. But, I mean, the truth is some kids come because it's just a way to get out of school. And, of course, we're finding out that a large percentage of kids that come have never heard the gospel, ever. And they hear it at Release Time Bible Education. And we're K-12 right now, and there's about 375,000 kids getting out of public school at least once a week, praise God, to hear the good news. Okay, and this is not just historical. This is where Genesis is, and this is who John was. This is the gospel and the Christian life, okay, as well as all those other things as well. So please pray for us, school ministries. If you're interested in getting more information or getting our newsletters, please just give me your email address and tell me that you want to know about school ministries or release time, and I'll put you on our list of getting our information. But there's 53 million public school students in America today, 53 million, and roughly 26 million from the best estimates we have. They don't go anywhere. They're just pagans. They don't go anywhere, let alone a Bible-believing church. So we have a tremendous mission field right outside the door here. So my hope and prayer is that this assembly here will take on the challenge of starting up a release time program. This place sits here idle, right, during the week? Just the doors are closed and nobody's here. Wouldn't it be great to open it up to local schools in the area here to get out the good news, right? Amen? Amen. All right. Well, I'd like us to turn to the book of Exodus, if you would. And we're going to go back in time of a couple of thousand years. I'm a firm believer that everyone is called to serve the Lord. You know, when the Lord said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel," was he just talking to the 12? He was preaching to the crowds. And I believe every one of us have certain abilities that God has given us and gifts that we should use for his glory. And you're going to see in this account this morning a man who gave every reason why he couldn't do what God wanted him to do. And of all the people in the Bible, Jesus is spoken of more than anybody else, but who was second? Does anybody know? Moses, okay. And Moses is a very interesting story because his life was sort of in three chunks of how many years?
40.
40, exactly, right, okay. And what we're looking at now is a man who had been in Egypt, okay. Remember, he was plucked out of the waters of the Nile and raised in Pharaoh's house and had all the pleasures of the kingdom. And then he saw his people being abused. And what happened? He ended up murdering somebody. And then he had to flee for his own life. And he went to the backside of the desert. Now remember, here's a man whose life has been in tremendous contrast. Here he is, born into royalty, if you want to think of it that way. And then all of a sudden, he's out on the backside of the desert with the sheep, who don't speak Hebrew, by the way. And for 40 years he's out there, 40 years out there in the wilderness on the backside of the desert herding sheep. So this is where we are right now. This man that we're going to be reading about right here is now about 80 years old. Anybody here 80? There's a couple of you maybe. Earl, I think you're
93.
Okay, well, you're behind. Anybody else want to admit it? Okay. All right, one back there. How old, brother?
82.
All right, okay. There's Moses right there. Okay, all right. Now picture me telling you this, okay? I mean, this is not a young, spry guy, okay, who's just gotten home from the Olympics. All right, here we go. Verse 1 of chapter 3. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. Can you imagine out there, all you're hearing is sheep bleating, and all of a sudden your name's called? I mean, I don't think I would have said, Yeah, what do you want? It was sort of, whoa, you know. But Moses, this is what the scripture says. He said, Here I am. And when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called him out of the midst of the bush. And he said, Here am I. And he said, and God said, And draw not nigh hither. Don't come any closer. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the ground wherein you stand is holy ground. And then he went on to say, Moreover, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. When Moses said this, he hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Whew. Wow. Think about this. Here he is, herding sheep. 40 years he's out there, not doing much, just sort of working for hire, if you will, herding sheep in the desert. And probably thinking about the people that he left behind, his own people, okay, that were being used as slaves by Pharaoh. And wondering, you know, if I went back, I'll be killed, maybe. How many of my friends have died? And totally unexpected, this situation. Now, God asked him to take the shoes off his feet. Does that remind you of another place that this happens? Where the Lord asks someone to take their shoes. What's that?
Joshua,
exactly. God said, take your shoes from off your feet because the place you're standing on is holy ground. This is when God communicated to his person, his servant, Moses. He also spoke to his servant, Joshua. Okay. You know, sometimes we look back and we think these people were giants of the faith. They were like us. These were people that God used to lead. And so I want all of us to think in the same terms, that God has called us to love him and to serve him wherever we are. In fact, we used to have a sign in our kitchen called Bloom Where You're Planted. And that's, I think, really what the call is, to bloom wherever he's placed us. In fact, I was very encouraged to hear the announcements this morning that you're going to go to the fair and have a booth there. You're going to Central Park and sharing the gospel. That's wonderful. Praise God. And I pray that you'll have fruit for your labors there as the seed is sown. So what happens here? And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of not just Moses' people, but notice what he says, of my people, which are in Egypt. And I've heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me. God hears the cries of his people. And I have also seen the oppression. So he also sees. He just doesn't hear. I've seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Okay, now here's what the Lord tells Moses to do. Come now, therefore, I will send you unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said, You got it. I'm out of here. No, that's not there. I'm sorry. That's not what it says here. What's it say? And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh? But think about, where did he live when he was in Egypt? Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh? And that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? What is he saying here? Lord, I'm a nobody. I mean, I'm just a nobody. They're not going to, I'm just going to walk in and tell them to do something and they're going to do it. Have you ever felt that way? You know, I don't have a college degree, or nobody knows who I am. I'm not in Who's Who in America, or I'm not here. I'm a nobody. I don't speak very well. I don't teach very well. I don't do this. I'm a nobody. So please don't send me. And Moses said unto God, by the way, this isn't just anybody, unto God, who am I? By the way, who made you, that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt. And he said, and God said, certainly I will be with you. And this shall be a token unto you, that I have sent you, that thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt. Ye shall serve God upon this mountain. That's where he was, Mount Horeb. On this mountain. Verse 13. First of all, what we're hearing here is Moses is saying, I'm a nobody. Okay? Next, he's saying in verse 11, basically, I'm unworthy. I mean, I just don't have the status. I don't have the protocol. I don't have the cachet. I don't have the gravitas. You want to use that word? I just, I really don't think I can make this work. All right. So then he keeps going. Verse 13. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, just like you told me to, Lord. And they shall say unto me, What's his name? Well, what am I supposed to say unto them? Okay. In other words, they're not going to believe me. And God said unto Moses, and I can just hear him belting it out, I am that I am. And the wonderful thing about God is that he's not, everything is now, okay? He's eternal. It's hard to picture what it's like. I am, okay? He wasn't, he won't, he is, okay? And he always will be. And here we are in time trying to talk about somebody who's eternal. But all we can really understand is he's all the time the same, okay? He doesn't change. Aren't you glad about that? I'm glad that his promises don't change from one day to the next. I'm glad that his scripture doesn't change. It's unchangeable. Immutable is the word. So he says to Moses, Go. And he basically is saying, I'm not worthy. I'm a nobody. And they won't believe me anyway. Sound familiar? And God said to Moses, verse 14, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent you. Wow, pretty strong stuff. You know, when you go to the White House, I don't know if any of you have been to the White House, but I've visited a couple times over my career. And you have to get your name on the register, the visitor's register. And not only the visitor's register, but all the guards out in front have to have that same register, okay, in order to allow you through the gate to get to the West Wing to get in. And the first thing they ask you is, who sent you? Okay, and I'll say, the Secretary of Defense or the, Admiral so-and-so or whatever. Okay, you got to be a name dropper. Okay, you just can't say, I was thinking about stopping by and saying hi. That doesn't work too well. Okay. And so Moses got that dilemma. He says, What am I going to say? Who am I going to tell them sent me? And the Lord said, You don't have to worry about that. I'm sending you. the Eternal One that made these people. I made Pharaoh. I made every person in the children of Israel, every single one. So don't you worry about it. So what happens? And God said, moreover, unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, and then he's going to be a name dropper, the God of Abraham. Hey, Israelites, do you know the name Abraham? The God of Abraham sending me. And oh, by the way, his son Isaac, he's sending me. And the God of Jacob, he's sending me. Same person. Okay, is that enough name droppers? Do you want some more? This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. And God continues, go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. I've seen the oppression. And I've said, I will bring you up out of affliction of Egypt unto the land of Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and Jebusites unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And the Lord says, and they shall hearken to thy voice. Okay, and God is predicting here what's going to happen. They will listen to you. And thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and ye shall say unto him. In other words, it's not just Moses now going to the king. The Lord is saying, you and the elders are going to go to the king of Egypt. And you'll say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us, and now let us go. We beseech you, 3 days' journey in the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I'm sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by the mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders. Of course, we know what they were. Which I will do in the midst thereof, and after that he will let you go. He keeps going. And I will give this people favor in the sight of Egyptians. Remember what they did? They gave them all the jewelry and stuff when they let them go. And it came to pass that when you go, ye shall not go empty-handed. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and ye shall put them upon your sons and your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. And Moses answered and said, man, I'm with you. Let's go. What happened? And Moses answered and said, but, don't you love it? But, behold, they won't believe me. They won't hearken unto my voice. For they'll say, the Lord hasn't appeared unto you. Come on, you're dreaming. And the Lord said unto him, Moses, what's in your hand? And he said, a rod, a stick. And the Lord said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. It was probably a poisonous serpent. A lot of adders and things of that sort on the desert. And the Lord said unto Moses, now put forth your hand. Now this is even more of a challenge. Put forth your hand and take it up by the tail. Yeah, right. And at least Moses put forth his hand and caught it and became a rod again. See, what's God doing here? He's saying, hey, Moses, let me show you that I'm really able to do this. What do you got? Well, I got this stick. Okay, let me show you what I can do with just a dead stick. And, of course, he turned it into a snake. And then he was able to have Moses grab a hold of that, and it became something useful for him. So he's basically telling him, hey, trust me. You saw what I just did here? I'm going to do greater things when you go into Egypt. Go, I'm with you. And go in my name. Well, that wasn't enough still. Can you imagine the Lord's temper boiling at this point? I mean, why didn't he just say, okay, I'm done with you, I'm out of here? No, the Lord kept going. Verse 4, and the Lord said unto Moses, put forth your hand, and he took it. Let's go to verse 5. that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers and the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, Now put thy hand in thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. It was white as snow, like a person with serious leprosy. And he said, Now put your hand into thy bosom again. And of course, you know, leprosy was contagious. And now this is sort of a risky thing for Moses. But he did it, and he pulled it out, and of course it was gone. And it came to pass, if they will not believe me, and it shall come to pass, if they don't believe me, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they shall not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon dry land, and the water which thou takest out upon shall become blood upon the dry land. Wow. And Moses said, Okay, you got me convinced. You are either the world's greatest magician or you're the real God. So Moses said, You finally convinced me. No, that's not good enough yet. Verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, I am not eloquent. I can't speak very, 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 very well. Okay? Neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. I doubt if Moses said it as clearly as this King James English is saying it here. But basically, Moses is saying is, I'm not a good speaker. I can't really talk very, very, very well. You know, if I go in front of those people, you know, they're going to laugh at me. Okay, I don't have that gift. I really get nervous. Like, I just can't do it. You know, maybe you've said that I don't really have any gifts I can really use, or I'm handicapped. Well, that's not good enough. And the Lord said unto him, Listen to this. Can you imagine this? This is right between the eyes. Moses, who made your mouth? Right? Here he's complaining about, you know, I've got this problem with my mouth. I can't speak very, very, very well. And the Lord is saying, I made you. Are you telling me I make trash? I don't think so. Man, what an indictment. Moses, who made you? And you're telling me it's not good enough? Wow, that's pretty powerful stuff. Verse 10, I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. And Moses and the Lord said, Who's made your mouth? Or who madeth the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now, therefore, go, and I will be with your mouth, or your speech, or your eyes, or your ears, or whatever the problem is, and teach thee what thou shalt say. Here's excuse number 5, if you're taking notes. Here's the all-encompassing one. O Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. In other words, not me, okay? I'm run out of excuses. I just don't want to do it. That's what he's saying here. Okay, I've given you a couple excuses. They haven't worked. I just want to tell you, I don't want to. I just don't want to. Okay. It's just not my bag. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well, so stop complaining about whether you can speak or not. And also, behold, he comes forth to meet you. So you don't have to complain about the fact you have to go alone. And when he seeth you, he'll be glad in his heart. So your friends, he'll be happy to be with you. And thou shalt speak unto him, and he'll and put words in his mouth. In other words, he'll know what to say because you can talk to him. You don't have to talk in front of all the people. He'll do it for you. And I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth and will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto his people, and even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth. In other words, he'll be your mouthpiece. and thou shalt be to him instead of God. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. In other words, it's not just me doing the miracles, you'll do miracles using this rod. And he did. Of course, God was with him. And he carried that through the wilderness. Verse 18. And Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said unto him, Let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. Okay, all of a sudden he's admitting what's really deep down in his heart. Okay, I don't even know if they're still there. I don't know if they're alive or not, let alone suffering. Okay, he'd never forgotten them, those 40 years. And here he is now, 80 years old, admitting that he doesn't know who's there anymore, whether they're even surviving. And Jethro said, Moses, you got a contract with me. You got to stay another 5 years. No, he didn't say that. What did he say? You got my blessing. Go in peace. And the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, Go, return into Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought to kill you or sought thy life. And Moses took his wife and his sons and set upon them an ass. And he returned to the land of Egypt, and Moses took the rod of God. Notice it is a rod of God now in his hand. And he went ahead. Now, why spend time on this besides looking at history? Well, I believe that it teaches us a lot of lessons. One is that God wants us to be obedient to him. Okay? And we'll come up with every number of excuses you can imagine. And he's got an answer for every one of those. Whether it's, I'm afraid, or they won't believe me if I go, or I just am not capable, or I don't know what to say, okay? They might kill me, whatever. He wants us to go. He tells us to go. He commands us to go. You know, sometimes in the assemblies we have an idea that the Great Commission says they will come. Okay, if you build the chapel, they will come. You know that old baseball statement, you build it. If you build it, they will come. Well, the Scripture tells us to go, okay? Because the world has not heard the gospel in many cases. Okay. We're finding out in school ministries that roughly 18% of the students that come to release time trust Christ as their Savior the first year. 18%. That's a tremendous statistic. There are people out there that have never heard the gospel, people that need to grow in their faith, okay, that are just babies, even though they're adults. They're babies in Christ. And every one of us needs to serve the Lord in the place where we are. Okay, time is short. And he will put the message in our mouths. It's not something that you know, we have to go to Bible college for 10 years and get a PhD or whatever. You know, Billy Graham was on Jack Parr. Remember Jack Parr many years ago? He used to have a late night program. And Billy Graham was on, and Jack Parr asked Billy Graham, he said, Billy, you know, you've been very successful in your evangelism, and you know, you've reached many millions of people. To what do you attribute your success? And Billy thought for a moment, and then he said, unexpectedly, I have good writers. Everybody laughed. He said, really? He says, yep, I got good writers. He says, what do you mean? He says, like Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. We have the message. It's right here. Okay. And it can change lives forever. What are you doing about it? That's my question. Someday we're going to stand before the Lord, and he's going to say, you know, what have you done? And I just hope it's not wood, hay, and stubble, but I hope it's gold, silver, precious stones. You know, looking around the world here, I don't know how many of you are involved with defense or whatever, Homeland Security. I'm working with them all the time. I just got my top secret clearance, renewed again. And I'll tell you, looking at some of the things that I read, you know, I wonder how long is this world going to last before the Lord comes back? I hope he comes back today. But I'll tell you, the world needs Christ. They need the gospel. You know, we wonder why all the trouble in the schools. Well, they took the Bible out and they put metal detectors in. I mean, figure that out. You know, it doesn't take a lot. And we're finding in schools where the scripture is being taught to these students, violence has gone down, grades have gone up, teen pregnancy has gone down. Even though they're missing an hour or two of school a week, their grades are getting better. Why? Because the scripture says the fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of wisdom. The schools are not teaching wisdom. They're teaching facts. This book has wisdom. This book has life. This book has power. And let's treat it like that. Okay. Let's pray together, shall we? Heavenly Father, thank you for this account we have in your word. We thank you for Moses, and sometimes he looks just like we do. We give excuses. We find every reason, whatever, to not do what you want us to do. And Lord, I just pray for every person here that knows you as Savior, that they would realize that they can be used and want to be used and should be used in your service, whether it's over the back fence at home, whether it's in the market, in the workplace, in the carpool, in the schools, wherever, Lord. I pray that you'll use us to rescue the perishing and care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, we sing. Jesus will save. We pray all this, thanking you for what you've done for us on the cross. In Jesus' precious name.